From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show, the Ring Podcast with Ranger Proud, live looking versus the Dallas Stars. BleedBlueShow.com is our website, audio archive on iTunes, Podcast Republic, tuning your Citrus. Ranger Proud, what's going on, man? We haven't done one of these in a while. As the game is in progress, what's your thoughts on tonight's game as we are looking at this and talking about it here on air?
I tell you, the Rangers look good tonight. I mean, they gave up that early period, but in the first period, I really like the speed, the hustle. The forecheck was great. They were creating a ton of scoring opportunities. It's really good to see Brent Howden back in the lineup. Hedl's playing well. You know, we've said it all along. They just want to be competitive and learn and grow. And this is a good hockey game. I mean, 1-0, mid-second period. Gorgiev is just playing lights out. Even though he gave up the goal, he made some fantastic saves in the first period. Really like the confidence he's showing. 25 games in his rookie year with Henrik Lundqvist as number one. That's a pretty damn good thing, I got to tell you. He's really developing into the goalie we hope he'd be.
Right. He had an excellent kick save. Both of the goalies, Bishop in this game as well, excellent saves. But definitely Gorgiev in the first period, he had a beautiful kick save. There was a good – I thought the Rangers, even though it was still 0-0 at the point in the first period, where the Rangers definitely had a good couple of shifts towards the end of the first period. They didn't get no goal out of it, but I thought they controlled momentum, especially with the second and third lines, man. I thought they did an excellent job. It's been pretty much an even game, like you said, outside of the Klingberg goal, a little over a minute into the second period. But other than that, I mean, it's been pretty much an even game. Are you surprised that the way Dallas is playing? They've been playing well. The Rangers, they've been skating well, and they've just kind of been falling short. You saw what happened in the Capitals game recently on Sunday, and then the Montreal game. I thought Montreal had tremendous speed. It was like eye-catching speed the way they were playing. So just Dallas has been playing well as of late, and they have to in that tough division. How do you think they came out thus far on top of that through almost two periods, only down 1-0 at this point?
Well, Dallas, I tell you, the interesting thing about Dallas is that their second leading scorer was scratched tonight because he was late to practice again. Radulov, who has 17 goals, 50 points on the season. You got Dallas battling for a playoff spot, and it's not happened the first time. It's happened a few times this season, and the head coach decided that making him understand what's more important, you know, winning isn't the only thing. It's what's the most important right now is getting his team together, and he sat him. And I mean, that to me is it's a gutsy call by a coach, you know, 19, 17 games to go. You bat him for a spot, and you set it up because he's missing practice. So it showed you where the coach is on the team, which I like. The Stars have always played solid hockey. You know, Sagan's always played well. They have a good team. And I like the Rangers came out and playing. The Rangers are going to be the spoilers, guys. And they're going to go into every arena this year and go, you're not winning or making a playoff spot on my, you know, when I'm on the ice. And that's a great attitude. They're playing like a team. They look good. You know, they don't look a team that's sitting 12 points out of a wild card. They don't look like a team that is, you know, mailing it in and just wants to get the season over with. And I tell you, I give a lot of credit to the head coach. Quinn is doing a really good job with them.
Right. Now, you brought up a good point right before we went on air as far as Brendan Smith being on that the ex-winger. And you're liking it. Now, explain to the audience, like, what you've been seeing as far as the adjustments with the lineup with Dave Quinn.
He looks comfortable on left wing. He really does. He's getting some scoring chances. He plays his position really well. He's got good hands. And back-checking, he really back-checks because he knows what it's like to be the defenseman when your forwards aren't back-checking. So he's really hustling. I was telling you earlier, Steve, that I read today that originally David Quinn was trying to recruit or did recruit. I didn't get that whole part of it. Brendan Smith, and he was a winger at that point. And in college, I believe he converted over to defense. So he knows how to play the position. I think that's why the head coach is comfortable putting him on wing and sitting some guys. And I don't think he sat, you know, Lee Sanderson tonight as a punishment or anything. I just think that the kids are still young, and sometimes watching a hockey game, you can learn a little bit more. You know, he wasn't as critical as when he said Hedl for those couple of games on this one. So, you know, we gave Kreese a night off tonight too. I like how he's alternating and changing the lines up, moving players around, trying to keep everyone fresh and showing that he's still coaching and they better damn well keep playing.
Right. Now, what about we saw a couple of the other Rangers that came over on the team, you know, Brendan Lemieux. What's your thoughts as far as him pairing up on the lines as well? Even saw some action with Zibanejad. And then, of course, you talk about Lieber Hayek, who's been paired up with, I think, Pionk tonight. Now, some of these other Rangers, yep, we haven't seen a lot this season, and they pretty much onto the roster. What have you liked thus far since coming over as Rangers?
Oh, I like Lemieux. I think Ranger fans are going to really like Lemieux. He's definitely his father's son. He plays with that feistiness and that aggressiveness, and he scored a goal the other night. He's got good hands, but he's one player that you hate to play against, but that you love to have on your team. Pretty much like his father when he played with the Devils and the Avalanche. And I really like his. I like what he brings to the team. He brings a bit of energy, a bit of aggressiveness. He's not a sloppy player, and he's not a bad skater or anything like that. He's not the old-fashioned goon that term is used around a lot. He's a hard-nosed player. He likes to get involved. He likes to get dirty, and he doesn't back down. I think as a Ranger fan, we love that blue-collar kind of hockey player, and that's what he brings to the game every night. Lieber Hayek, I think, has been playing really well. He looks much more comfortable tonight than he did the last couple of games. He's played well. He's played with a lot of poise. He's making the right moves. I think from the other side, Steve, it's got to be a real kick for Neil Pionk to get the rookie coming to play with him when he's only in his first full season, second full season here now. I think it shows the confidence that the coach has in him by letting him play, with Hayek. And I think they've been playing well together. Pionk's a young kid. He knows what it's like to be up here for the first time. He's very vocal when he's on the ice. He communicates a lot, which definitely helps him.
Right. Now, as we were talking during this episode, RP and myself watching the Stars-Rangers game as it's in session and Rangers finishing off the PK, I thought they'd done a good job. I think this is the only penalty they've given up into this point. I don't remember them giving up any other penalty. They had actually, I think, maybe three power plays up until this point, over three. The special teams has been kind of a sore spot for the squad all season long. They've had some flashes, especially with the power play, maybe a little bit after the break, but then it's kind of cooled down. But RP, is there anything you want to say as far as what you saw on the power play, the PK tonight in this game versus the Stars on this live looking episode?
The power play tonight just sucks. Just not much to say. It doesn't seem like they're having a lot of trouble setting up consistently. They're not getting that deep pressure. They're kind of forcing all their passes. They're not hitting their shots. It just hasn't gone. It's not one of their better nights on the power play. We've seen the team as a whole play a lot better on the power play than what the Rangers are showing us tonight, which is a shame, because in a 1-0 game, you need at least to get that momentum out of the power play, and they're not even getting that. So
right.
On the flip side, they're killing off penalties. They just killed off one just now. I mean, they're even in shots on goal with them right now in a game, 20 each. They're doing their thing. Just special teams, the last couple of games, it just hasn't been where you want it to be, where the team's at, and all the changes and all. The Rangers, they're 0-for-1 on the penalty kill, they're 0-for-3 on the power play, so special teams aren't working for either team right now. But you would like to see, especially when you get three power plays in the first two periods, at least a little bit more consistency, at least a little more shots. That seems to be a little bit lacking there. Can't really say why. It's just the special teams have been up and down all year for the Rangers, so it's par for the course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now, as far as Domestikov, I saw him streaking down the ice. He had a great shot on goal. I know about a few minutes ago, Zibanejad had an excellent shot, hit the post. I know he was kind of frustrated when he went to the bench. Mm-hmm. I mean, the guys are having their opportunities, and Big Bishop's a big goalie. We've seen him for several years and playing against him when he was on Tampa Bay. But VC in front of the net, as far as setup opportunities, screening with Kreider, I see Jesper Fast was been active early on with the shots. You get a little variety. I mean, it's been an even game. I get it. They've been competing, to your point. They've been competing. Like what they've done. I like even, like you said, about the pairing of Ryan Strong with Kreider. You didn't really see a lot of that before the trade, obviously. Then you got to see a little bit of Hedo match paired up with him with whatever defense when he's on the other wing, and then you have on the back check with Stahl, and I guess D'Angelo will be the other pairing as well in this game. So you see a lot of different combinations that we have not seen, obviously, since the trade, the trades, plural. So and then Gorkyov and that, you see all the confidence with him the last several games for he's played well in this game. I think that's that one shot that was high, and I don't even say he got screened. I think he just didn't see the puck. Just the one goal difference as of right now in this game. They're playing hard, man. I mean, I think that's what most Ranger fans can respect. They don't want to see this team quit. And looking at this game, this doesn't look like a team that's quit, even despite little back-to-back losses. You saw the game. The Montreal game, if you have any thoughts on that, I thought Montreal was flying out there on Friday. If you want to speak to that, what did you see in that game that I didn't think Montreal had that in them?
Yeah, no, they looked real. That game, they looked really good. The Rangers looked flat. They were out hustled.
Right.
You know, Montreal's, first of all, Price always gives us trouble in that. For years, he's given us trouble. The only time we really had success against Montreal is when Kreider hit him and knocked him out of the series in the playoffs a couple of years ago when St. Louis was on the team. He just always plays well against the Rangers. So, I mean, they battled back. It was a 4-2 game. They were up 4-1 at one point and got the late goal. That's just one of those games when, you know, if they could have got an early goal, an early lead, and they were up 1-0, and then Montreal came back and got 2 in the second, and then it just – then they got hot. Montreal had a flat first period, and then they started to pick it up, and they just outplayed the Rangers in that game, which is really not something you could say happens often. I mean, the shots on goal weren't indicative of the play. They were really poor on faceoffs that game, the Rangers, so – that absolutely didn't help their cause. The Rangers were taking more penalties. It was just one of those games when things didn't go their way early and kept on going. It happens, you know, especially with this team. Sometimes, as young as they are, it could take one little thing and it's sort of quicksand and they all start going the wrong way. We've always said how well the Rangers, you know, can pick up a play and it leads to better play and scoring chances, but sometimes it goes against you too. And that's what I think happened with the Ranger-Canadian game. So just one of those things when you hope they learn from it and they bounce back. And they did bounce back to an extent. The Washington game, they played well. I mean, they battled the Stanley Cup champs, which is all you're looking for the most part. But then again, a loss is a loss, right, Steve?
A loss is a loss, man.
They keep, you know... But they play Tampa Bay really well. They play Washington really well. They're playing the elite teams competitively. That's at this stage, that's what you want to see. I want to see the kids playing well. I want to see guys like Reba Hayek stay in the lineup and keep learning and keep getting this experience. These 18, 19 games left in the season, they need to have a minute all the time. Let them get all that experience. This way, next season, the growing pains are a little bit put to the side. He's going to be playing. Our games may not be important, but he's playing against other teams who are trying to make the playoffs or change their position getting into the playoffs. So he's going to be playing some high-caliber hockey the next couple of months, next couple of weeks, I should say. So that's what I'm looking for right now out of the whole team. We all know they're going to need help on defense. Hayek is playing for a spot for next year. You know, some guys have grown into a spot. I think Anthony DeAngelo is the most improved player on the team this year. From where he was in the beginning of the season to where he is now, he's just it's night and day difference. And you got to anticipate him starting next year where he didn't start much this year. So these guys are playing not just for the end of the season. A lot of these plays are being evaluated now for next season. And Ranger fans might be tired of hearing that over the last couple of years, but the fact is that's where we stand right now. So that's where I think the Rangers have to start focusing on. We want to see guys like Brett Howland and Howden start to play better now that he's back from the injury.
I'm glad you brought him up.
Which guy?
That's exactly Howden. Brett Howden. That's exactly where I was going to go next as far as what you want to see out of him since coming back, man.
Get back into, you know, when he got hurt, he wasn't playing great. Wasn't playing horrible, but he wasn't scoring at the clip that he was earlier. Now it's nice to see. I mean, I just read a stat that Howden and Hedl are the first Rangers rookies under 20 years old, I should say, not rookies. First two players, 20 years or younger, to play in 50 games in the same season since 1978. So the Rangers, who really don't bring in a lot of youth, you know, in a season, are doing it this season. And I think fans should see there's a lot of good coming out of the season. We knew it was going to be a rebuilding. The playoffs were really not what we thought it would be. I don't think anyone legitimately thought the Rangers would make the playoffs this year. They kept it close for a long time, and they played well. But you could see it was a little bit of a struggle. But if you put that on the side for a minute, they've been playing some solid hockey. It's great to see all these kids in the lineup. And, yeah, they're going to make their mistakes, and they're not going to do what they want. But they got a head coach who doesn't care if you're a veteran or a rookie. If he doesn't like how you're playing, he's going to come and tell you right to your face. And I think he's done wonders with this. And how does one of those guys, he's got a lot of jump in his game. He missed a lot of games with the knee injury. He's back now. I like his energy. I like his hustle all the time. And if you look at it, all the kids pretty much hustle all the time. There's not too many players can say, he's looking lazy. Once in a while, that's going to happen in a long season. I mean, even Hedo said it's a long season. It's a long grind. You know, some of these guys haven't played. They might have played 80 games in a season or 70 games in a season, but not NHL games. These guys come to play every night. So everything's a learning experience. Everything's trial and error. But I really like where the Rangers are headed.
Right. Now, let me kind of switch gears. I know this is an intermission right now in between the second and the third periods as we do this episode. So let me ask you this, because I think this was a topic on your page or your articles as far as the captainship should go to Mika Zibanejad, if they was to go in that direction on offering out the C. Now, I thought about this, and my thing is this. With Kreider has been more of the long tenure Ranger, and how would that react, or how would that – I know it's a professional business, but you know that. Or I would you know that, but human nature would say you would think Kreider would probably want that over, you know, being there longer. And although Zibanejad has kind of been more – it's almost been almost a leadership on a consistent night-in and night-out basis, you want to talk this season. Like, how would you compare the two as far as making an argument for either or? And you kind of went with Zibanejad. What's your thoughts if you want to expound on that?
I went with Zibanejad mainly because Kreider still has those nights. He's scoring well, he's playing well. But I find, in my opinion, that Zibanejad seems to be more involved in every game on a more consistent level still.
Uh-huh.
I just think that even when the Rangers are losing or the Rangers are struggling or the Rangers are winning, you hear his name throughout the game. Power plays, special teams, faceoffs. He's in your face. He's hustle. He skates. And it's not that Kreider doesn't, but I still see that once in a while you go through those little spurts when you don't hear or see his name. And then, like, tonight, for instance, I don't know why he's only played 9 minutes tonight. Especially in this game going against the Stars and all. He's not, and I was looking at the numbers, I don't know if the coach was mad that or something, but he doesn't have a lot of minutes on tonight, and I can't figure out. He's played 10:27 in two periods. It's not horrible, but Ryan Strome's got almost 12 minutes in. Howden's got almost 12 minutes in. VC has almost 12 minutes in. Zibanejad's got almost 13 minutes in. So I don't know. He's playing more, I don't want to say fourth-minute numbers, but his ice time isn't up there. I don't know if the coach didn't see something in him tonight, you know, which is quite possible. But that's why I thought Zibanejad would be a better captain. It wasn't just because of his numbers. It's his overall play. The other thing is, of course, Kreider's contract situation again. This is going to be the third summer we're going in knowing that one of our top plays is a UFA. We did it with Nash and Grabner. We did this year with Zouk Hayes. And now you're going to be doing it with Kreider. So I really hope that the Rangers have learned that either sign them early, work it out, or move them early. Don't drag the whole team down a whole another season. Because no matter what anybody says, and even Zuccarello said, he knew from last summer he was going to be moved, that he probably wasn't going to sign a deal. But as it got closer, it got harder, and the whole team felt it. Can't go through this 3 years in a row. The Rangers got to sometimes make that move early in the year, or don't make the move and just move them on.
Man, has that ever been the deal of the day? I relate to the hockey. That's a story for another day. I mean, you are so right when it comes to business. You're not going to – it's really a simple concept. You don't have to really overthink it. If you're not going to sign the player, you should know right there, right away, to move them and don't put the strain on the team or the player.
I agree. You kind of had that feeling that was going to happen with Kevin Hayes, more than Zuccarello. because they couldn't come up with an agreement last summer, and then they couldn't sign him to a long-term deal to January 1, and then when January 1 came around, it was silence. Well, right there, if you couldn't, even though you couldn't sign him to a long-term deal, him and Gorton and the agents could have spoke the whole first half of the season, and obviously they didn't. So you knew there was going to be a problem there. Why wait until, what was it, 10 o'clock in the morning of the trade deadline to move him? Granted, they did very well getting the first-round pick and all from him out of Winnipeg, but maybe they could have done better. Maybe they could have got a roster player. Remember, it's Winnipeg. They're going to be in the playoffs, so they're going to be a top 16 team. So where does that put the draft pick? At the bottom 15th
bottom
or
of the
18th,
first.
Depending on where they're at. So it's probably not going to be a person or a player that's going to step right into the ice now. It might be another thing when you have to wait a year like Kravtsov, or maybe even longer, like, for example, like a Kai Andre Miller. So until you know that, it made me wonder why put everyone through that, and why not possibly get something better out of it? You never know. You don't know what the thinking was or the logic was. So I understand we're on the outside looking in, but I really hope they don't go through this again with Kreider the way we have. And that's another reason why I wouldn't put the C on Kreider's chest unless you sign him long term. What's the purpose of making him captain and trading him? So,
oh,
yeah,
absolutely.
So
that's a great point.
It kind of puts the team in flux again. You know, some people say, no, don't name the captain now, it doesn't matter. But it does matter, because it's all part. If you want next year to come out, I want the Rangers to come out flying next year. No more of this rebuilding talk. Make some good draft picks. Maybe make some good trades leading into the draft. Get some good signings and some good UFAs now. Now's the time to start spending some money. They've been holding back. And then come out of the gate flying next year. And if you want to do that, you need to have your captains, your alternate captains all set up. You need to have the team ready to go. It'll be Quinn's second training camp. He's going to be more experienced. I expect a lot out of them coming out next season. I don't see why they could be that far away from a playoff spot after all these games and experience under their belt this year.
Right, right. I mean, the story is pretty much week in and week up to the end of this regular season. We just want to see the progress of the remaining players. A guy like Bo Nieves, I wanted to see him. I didn't see him a lot of time. I didn't remember him playing a lot tonight. I've seen him a couple of shifts. I don't know, maybe three or four. But I would like to see him play more. Whatever minutes he could get off of that fourth line, probably get a little bit more extra time from Quinn. The other guys, Nemestikov, I brought him up earlier. I thought he had an excellent shot on goal tonight. He made his presence felt as far as his opportunity and his presence felt. I want to see a lot more Howden. I think he's probably going to be the top of my list between now and the rest of the regular season. The other Rangers, I mean, we kind of know what they are. You brought up the point with Brandon Lemieux. I definitely want to see more of him, as like you said, as far as since coming over from Winnipeg in the trade. And then the chemistry of these other line combinations that you got to see tonight with Hedo, Kreider, and how those guys mesh together and execute. And then defensively, and like you said, you're absolutely correct. Well, I absolutely agree as far as D'Angelo. He's definitely been an improved player, defenseman, and setting up guys. It's been a joy to watch him, actually. I would say about the last 3 weeks or so, especially. So definitely good points as far as that. So we'll see how this goes for the rest of this game. And I hate to make excuses, because you're absolutely correct about this. This is a tough stretch of games. Tampa Bay Lightning, Montreal has played excellent, and of course the defending champs. That is a tall task. And then you got a team in Dallas who actually has been playing well. So I mean, they've kind of held their own. I got to give them props despite the lack of talent and all the guys, the key pieces or heart and soul of the squad that was here is no longer here. And it's kind of what you and Brian already echoed too, man. It's going to be a rough patch after letting those guys go in particular. It's really not as realistic to say Rangers are going to win all these games, knowing you had Kevin Hayes gone, Matt Zuccarello, you know what I'm saying? So this is a huge transition in this franchise moving forward, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. It definitely is. It's a starting point.
Going around the league, because I know before we get off, because there were some good games. And I know you watched maybe some of that Islander dominance over the Maple Leafs. I'm just going around the league. I'm talking about that game. I mean, the Islanders really put it on the Maple Leafs. I know it was a really emotional game with Tavares coming back, but if you wanted to respond, I mean, it felt like a Eastern Conference Game 5, that game, that magnitude of that game. It was great to watch, even as a Ranger fan.
Oh, absolutely it was. They played really well that game. The fans were all over Tavares. There was no way he could concentrate or focus. And they took the entire team right out of the game. They totally dominated that game. The Islanders are playing some really good hockey right now. They're a team to be reckoned with, and the playoffs are going to be fun. You know, they're battling a little bit. What's his face? Lehner got hurt tonight in a collision and had to come out of the game late in the game as Ottawa tied it up. Then the Islanders went on to win it in overtime. So I'm not Ottawa, excuse me. The Devils played Ottawa. Yeah. No, I was right. The Islanders played Ottawa. The Devils played the Blue Jackets. There's another interesting team. The Blue Jackets, who made all those moves and didn't make
some
moves.
Yeah, you brought that up.
They are struggling. I mean, they won tonight, but if they don't make the playoffs, John Davidson might be walking away just the same as Panarin does. It's, yeah. Let me tell you something. Those are some crazy moves over there, and they're a struggling hockey team right now. The Blue Jackets are in the wild card. They're in the second wild card spot, but they're tied with Montreal, they're tied in points with Montreal, who's on the outside looking in, and the difference, I believe, is regulation wins. Columbus has 36. Montreal has 33. So that's the difference right now in making the playoffs and not making the playoffs. And Philadelphia's only 5 points behind them. So Columbus has got a long way to go to make these deals and no deals that they made in the trade deadline.
You're absolutely correct, man. I mean, you're talking about, like, comparing it to the game of poker, moving all your chips in. I mean, you mentioned it a few weeks ago. That is a gamble.
Yeah.
I mean, they kind of – I thought they had a little bit of timeline. I understand the Panera situation, but at his core, they still have a relatively young team with a veteran head coach, and you got the consultant and Martin St. Louis. I mean, it's not like it was in the end of the world if you weren't going to make a move, but this year in particular, knowing that you had Tampa Bay to compete with, I mean, that's a tall order, and the defending champions are still maybe not as dominant like they were going into the playoffs last year. But, I mean, this is still of a good balance in the Eastern Conference, the Toronto Maple Leafs. And for Columbus to do what they did as if it was now or never, I don't understand that at all, man. And you brought that up, man. Just watching that alone is just – we'll see how that's going to play out. And that goes back to them. They got destroyed last week by Penguins. I mean, it happens, but you want to see all these changes. You don't want to get blown out in some of these games. Another game I have watched as well, the Western Conference. I mean, it's just a great game to watch when it comes to it was the Predators and the Jets, and that was a good game. I mean, Kevin Hayes had a lot of impact late in that game. He was on the line with Wheeler and Scheifele, man, and then you had the other outs in the line with Rene, man. I mean, you talk about two stacked teams, man. I mean, that was like a heavyweight bout, man. A good game by the Jets in that game, late in that game as well. I know the Jets played the Lightning tonight, and I saw that the Lightning was up like 4-1. I mean, that was my Stanley Cup final. And I know it's only a regular season game. I get it, but RP. I mean, the Tampa Bay Lightning. We saw them last Wednesday. We've seen them a couple of times this season. It's like it doesn't matter who you're throwing in front of them. Right now, they're just running through teams. This is disgusting,
yeah,
man.
I still have in the back of my mind that they're possibly peaking too early, and it might just be me. But
I said that.
It's a little strange. They're playing really good, but they're playing too good.
Too good.
Too good.
I've seen this story before, man. I've seen maybe not in this sport. Well, in this sport too, but I mean in general, you fizzle out, man. But I don't see anybody in the East. Like to me, it takes like a team like Washington the way they played last year. I'm not saying the way Washington playing this year, the way they played last year, how hard they were hitting the forecheck the continuity. I don't see that out of Washington this year up until this point. They haven't gotten to that point. But, man, Tampa Bay, and I haven't seen the game, so I have to go back and watch. How did they do it to Winnipeg? Because Winnipeg's stacked. They made it look like it's nothing by the score. Oh, another team I wanted to bring up, too, is my dark horse. Now, not to say to get to the finals, but to really shake things up is the Carolina Hurricanes. I know they lost tonight, but they've been playing very well as well. They've been playing well as of late. And I think that if they happen to sneak in or whatever, they might be able to make, you know, have some disruptions in the Eastern Conference. Other than that, nothing really else surprises me in the East. I've been watching more West Coast hockey, to be honest, the last week. The only, you know, the main East Coast game this past week was definitely the Islanders, you know, Maple Leaf game for obvious reasons.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The Maple Leafs, they're going to be fine. But that game, man, those fans were all over that guy. Wow.
Yeah. It was different.
It was probably a lot of stuff I've heard the Coliseum since the 80s. I mean, they came with a purpose. Like, I give them credit. But then today they had the lowest turnout at the Coliseum ever. So it just shows their fan base is just off key.
I think it was Minnesota as well. Because I think we talked about that last week, how they stole that game from Winnipeg last week. I don't know. Another team that could be a little bit of could really shake things up in that division as well. It's back and forth. St. Louis is hot and then cool off. You know, Dallas has been playing well. And then, of course, the heavyweights at the top, Winnipeg and Nashville. This got a couple more weeks before we get to the end of the regular season. I know we have to start of the third period, but any final thoughts so we could go back and watch this game?
No, you know something? Today I don't have many final thoughts. Keep reading my articles. Follow Facebook, Ranger Proud on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Keep talking hockey. I love it. A couple of weeks to go here. The Rangers are going to keep making some good moves and just enjoy the games.
Enjoy the games. We'll be back next Tuesday. Another episode, the Rink Podcast with Ranger Proud. Go Rangers. Sangre Azul. Bleed Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleed blue, 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 bleed blue.